Locked On Predators, your daily podcast on the Nashville Predators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Monday morning, everybody. Thank you for making Locked On Predators your first listen of the week. Big show today. The Predators are, they're 500. Who would have thought that about a week ago? We're going to break down the pluses and minuses from the past week, including this past Saturday's game against the Islanders. And we're excited about this. Chase McClain, Predators prospect and Penn State hockey forward. We got to chat with him a little bit over the weekend as Penn State put up a great performance at Bridgestone Arena against North Dakota. Well, it was pretty much a home game for North Dakota, but great atmosphere nonetheless. We're going to be talking about that game a little bit too. First off, introductions are in order. I'm Nick Morgan. I'm a writer and editor at On the Forecheck, and I have a partner in crime.
I am Ann Kimmel. I am a writer at ontheforecheck.com.
Yeah, and who thought the Predators were going to be a 500 hockey team this time last week?
Like, I'm not great at math, but I did not see this one coming. Like, I'm surprised. And what's funny, my mom was in town last week, and my mom is a very, very fresh hockey fan, very fresh Predators fan. And we went to the San Jose Sharks game together for her birthday. And I said to her before the game, just to kind of emotionally prepare her, now look, we may not win this game. Mom said, oh, we're going to win this game. Well, then she went back home Saturday, and she said, well, let me know how the game goes. I said, well, Mom, don't get your hopes up. You know, we may not win this game, and we won this game. So I got yelled at by my mom this weekend for being negative.
I guess that's the life lesson for you right there, though.
I guess it is. She said, no, they're going to win this game. And I thought, bless, she just doesn't always know all the things about hockey yet. And look at this.
Is Mama Kimmel the good luck charm? Is that the secret? Do we need to just call it that and then end this podcast a little bit early?
Well, look, I am telling you that one of the last things she said to me was, look, if the team needs me to come back for all their home games, I'm willing to do that. She's just like Jesus. Like, she's so sacrificial. So she is willing, Nashville Predators. If you need, you know, if you need a good luck charm, my mom is convinced that she is it.
David Poyle, make that call, man.
That's right.
I mean, Nashville Predators on Saturday, a big 3-2 afternoon win over the New York Islanders. You know, we talked about the Sharks game, of course, and the Sharks being 4-1 entering that game. But, you know, I think there's still a little bit of shred of doubt over the Sharks just because of their past few years and, you know, kind of being an up and down team. The Islanders, though, was a quality win. And I know the record hasn't, you know, blown anybody away this year, but the Islanders are, in my mind, one of the best teams in the NHL, and it's not going to be long before they're up there in the standings again.
Yes.
This was a quality win. You know, it's, you know, I'm not going to say it's one they needed because it's October and we're a handful of games in, but I do think it kind of validated feelings about the Preds right now that, okay, if everything clicks, this is a team that can still compete.
I totally agree with you on that, because you kind of, through these other games, you think, okay, you know, were they having, you know, was Minnesota kind of having an off night, you know, San Jose.
A lot of people thought that Minnesota was having an off night. You know, our Locked On Wild friend flat out said, this was their worst game.
Yeah. You know, it's the same thing with the San Jose game. You know, like you said, everybody's not 100% sure that record reflects the team. So this feels like a big win for the Predators, because I agree with you. This is, you know, the Islanders are a real team. I don't think anybody disputes them. They're not a dark horse necessarily. This is a substantial team win. And it did not come easily. You know, this was not, you know, total 60 minutes Predators domination. This was a really hard fought game. So I think it matters. I think this for me was a much more reassuring win than, you know, the San Jose game for sure.
Yeah. And it kind of fit the Predators billing of being the team that's been fighting back. Islanders went up 1-0 in the first. Janot tied it in the second, but only about 5 minutes later, the Islanders went back ahead again. Really looked like the Islanders were starting to control the game at that point. But then Tanner Janot, once again, big goal in the third period to tie things up. And then Saros stonewall in the shootout, and Josi put home the winner. And yeah, I mean, it was kind of one of those very, very old Nashville Predators games from like the late 2000s, early 2012, where it's, you know, okay, well, they're not always going to be the best team on the ice. They're might, you know, they might go down in a hole. They might get outplayed a little bit, but they are going to have good goaltending that keeps them in it. And
yes,
I mean, Saros again, I mean, this is like the second game in a row where you kind of walk away saying, all right, this was his best game of the season. And we've said that for the past couple of games, which is a good sign that he is improving whatever weird yippy thing he was having at the beginning of the season. Yeah, I mean, this is kind of like that old school Predators mentality of, you know, you might outplay us, but we're going to stay in it. And then all it takes is one, you know, mistake on your end, one push from some of our unheralded guys, and we're going to be back in it. And then we're going to let our superstars like win the game.
Yes, it's total. I agree with you. It's throwback hockey. This is the kind of hockey that I think David Poile, you know, this game kind of encapsulated the vision that David Poile has of what, you know, the identity of Predators hockey will be. And, you know, I look back to when Laviolette left and Poile brought in John Hines. And I know a lot of people were like, I just don't get this one. And, you know, Hines has had an uphill climb, you know, with COVID. And I think with just getting buy-in, you know, across the board. And so this, I think, was a great win in the sense that this is kind of the hockey that David Poile has been working hard to try to get the Predators back to. And I think it's the kind of hockey that John Hines is excellent at bringing out. And I think this kind of makes me go, okay, now I sort of see why you pulled John Hines in, because this is kind of his style. And he seems to be able to kind of bring it out. It's great. It's maybe not glamorous hockey, but it's hockey that they win. So, you know, can't be too picky on style points.
There is one word you said in there that I really want to highlight, and that's identity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's my thing for the Laviolette era was there just really wasn't a identity with this team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had the cup run, and that was like, you know, everything about that team was sort of the like epitome of the Preds identity of their old. And then, you know, they started trying to, you know, bring in some more higher end players, like more skilled offensive guys. But, you know, they're still trying to play like this old school style of Preds hockey. And it just kind of wound up being a big mess. I think you're 100% right. I think John Hines came in here with a clear vision of, hey, once I get my fingerprints on this team, this is what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've seen that over the past little. I mean, you know, we saw bits and pieces of it last year. You know, the Predators had some very good games, especially down the stretch, that kind of reminded you of that earlier run of Preds hockey. But yeah, these past, you know, little bit of a week and a half or so, however long it's been, they've really stayed true to what they've wanted to do. Well, there's a couple of players in particular I want to highlight. Plus, there's one area of the game that I wasn't really thrilled with this past weekend. We'll be talking a little bit about that, but first, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love, minus the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again, and no more sorting through pages and pages of usernames and passwords trying to remember which one goes to which streaming service. Plus, no annual contract. Get rid of the clutter, though, and the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
Thank you for making Locked On Predators your first listen of the day. We are going to talk about some of our plus minuses, what's good, what's not good from the previous week. Also want to let you know tomorrow's episode is going to be a great one to listen to. We are going to be previewing the Calgary Flames game. I'm going to be talking with Jess Belmosto. She is the voice at Locked On Flames. We're going to be discussing the matchup, who the Predators need to be watching out for, and what the team might need to do to be able to pull a win out from a hot Calgary Flames team. So be listening for that tomorrow. But first, we want to talk plus minus. What was great? What was not so great? So Nick, give me your first plus for us for our Monday.
My first plus of the Monday is somebody who, for some unknown reason, has become one of the most underrated players on the Nashville Predators, and it feels really weird calling him that because my guy is Ryan Johansson.
Okay. Interesting. This
is a guy who I don't really think we truly as fans appreciate just what all he can do on the ice. We know he's got the potential to score, and I think that's why fans have maybe been a little bit frustrated with him over the past few years. But he's exactly what you want out of a number one center. He is a guy who not only has a little bit of a scoring touch, but very good defensively. He's a guy that can make plays in the neutral zone, disrupt players. I mean, we saw him basically put his Vezina nomination out this past week with a great save on the red line when Saros looked beat.
Yes.
He didn't find the score sheet Saturday against New York, but I thought he was one of the best players of that game. Very well energized, was all over the ice, really kind of getting in there to dirty areas and disrupting play. I think Ryan Johansson, and he's kind of taken a back seat to some other players this year. Mikael Granlund with 25 minutes of ice time.
Yes.
That was insane. So I feel like he's kind of taken a backseat in that regard, but he is always, whenever he's out there, it seems like he's doing something to impact the game. Very undervalued, and I think a very big reason why the Predators have been able to turn things around.
Yeah, I think so too. I think fans have been sort of frustrated. I don't think anybody can argue his talent. I think, the one thing that I've heard kind of people grumbling about is that he just doesn't shoot enough, but he does so, he really is such a complete player. And like you said, defensively, he has been great. He makes things happen. He kind of is the more showy Mikael Granlund, where he sort of makes everybody a little bit better on the ice when he's out there with him. Mm-hmm. So it's good to see him sort of be more rewarded this season so far, and really hope to continue. And kind of goes along with what my first plus is, which is just in general, the veterans. We've talked so much about the youth, and people want to see the youth coming along. But we have sort of overlooked the fact that there are some really great, we've got some great talent in the veterans, and they're showing it. We've had talented veterans for a while, but they just haven't been as productive as they needed to be. And so it's been good to see these veterans kind of step up and kind of complement what the youth are bringing. And I think that, when people were crying for this youth movement, when the season was getting ready to start, I think the veterans have kind of proved, how important it is to sort of have some balance. Definitely bring in these younger players who have, kind of different skill sets, different energies. But like you said, Johansson, Granlund, Duchesne, Josi, these are all players who are really performing well. So I would say shout out to the old folks because they're still getting it done.
I feel that one in my soul.
I feel that one in like my hip. Yeah, for sure.
Minuses, Anne. The one parts we didn't like. What's your minus for this week?
Yeah. Now my minus may be an overreaction, but that's what I'm here for. It's the power play. Like my power play anxiety came back on Saturday. Like I feel like the Predators had definitely made strides improving special teams, which is an area that I think we can all agree needed some adjusting. And they've looked better. But on Saturday, I had just this anxiety because the Islanders went 2-for-4 on the power play. Their goals were special teams goals. This is not how we want the Predators to be performing. We need the penalty kill to be better. We need them to, you know, really kind of watch the penalties that they take, not take unnecessary ones. And you just cannot give up 2 goals to another team on the man advantage. So my minus would be, you know, don't get overconfident in special teams and don't make sloppy decisions that put you in a position where, you know, your opponent scores 2 goals on power plays. So that's my minus. I don't know how you saw.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of stole my thunder there a little bit.
Sorry about that.
No, you're good. No, I was just going to say discipline. And you hit on that a little bit. You know, I think our friend Sean Smith at On the Forecheck had a really fantastic way of summing it up. You want your players to play with a little bit of an edge, just because that I think gives your team a little bit of identity. But when you're on the edge, sometimes you cross over that line. And the Preds need to figure out how to stay on that edge without crossing the line from gritty to reckless.
Yes.
And I think that's one thing the Predators have struggled with a little bit this season. You know, you've just seen some unnecessary penalties here and there, you know, not like anything like in the course of a game, like a trip or something like that, but just, you know, like a late hit or, you know, an interference call that, you know, you didn't need to make contact with them. Stuff like that. And that happened twice on Saturday that actually wound up burning the Preds. So I think we're on the same page with that. And I know you wanted to get one more plus in.
I do. I want to give a plus out to Predators prospect Luke Prokop. A, because he's just great to watch play hockey, but also because he announced on Twitter this week that he is donating $10 for every shot he takes, not every goal he makes, but every shot he takes to Kids Help Phone, which is a counseling service, a peer-to-peer support service. They work, you know, via the phone, online, digital. They provide support to youth for, you know, everything, mental health, social media. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Luke Prokop for that. And also to the Predators and the Edmonton Oil Kings who are matching his $10 donation. So just really fortunate that the Predators have some really great young men coming up through the program who are mindful, who kind of see the big picture, who understand that this opportunity isn't just for them and that they can use their opportunity for others. So shout out to our friend Luke Prokop. Super cool.
Yeah. I mean, a tremendous, tremendous young man in a lot of different ways. And
yes,
you know, I am excited to see the day he does come up to the Predators roster, because he's going to be a very integral part, not only of the team on the ice, but he is going to do a lot of good for this community when he finally makes it up. You know, sticking with prospects, I want to give one last plus this week, and that is to the atmosphere Saturday night.
Oh my gosh.
After the Predators game, we saw a tremendous, tremendous college hockey game between the North Dakota Fighting Hawks and the Penn State Nittany Lions. I know, and that is team near and dear to your heart.
They're my people.
Yeah, I mean, that was, we got to see, you know, when this was announced, it was, you know, this wasn't just, you know, with all due respect to some other teams in the region, this wasn't like, you know, kind of a mid-major or just kind of a smaller tier hockey game. These are two of the best programs in the NCAA right now.
Yes.
You know, each have made multiple, you know, good Frozen Four runs in the past. This was college hockey at its best on display at Bridgestone Arena. Yes. We were all kind of interested to see what the crowd was going to be. huge crowd. A lot of people who went to the Preds game stayed around. We saw the influx of green.
Oh my gosh.
It was basically a home game for North Dakota. And we're going to have a little bit more on this game in a second, Ann, right?
We are. I'm so excited about this. So one of the exciting things for me being a girl from Pennsylvania is that, you know, with the Penn State team came the Predators recent draftee Chase McClain. He came down for the game and I was fortunate enough to get a chance to talk with Chase about just growing up in hockey, his experience with the Penn State program, being drafted by the Predators, and just the upcoming game. So it was really a wonderful opportunity. We're going to hear more from Chase in just a minute. But first, I want to talk to you about Built Bar. If your life's anything like mine, you're probably rushing out the door for practices, going to work, you're late for meetings, and you just need something that's healthy and great tasting to grab and go. This is why you need Built Bar. Built Bars are the perfect protein bar to give you the extra energy you need. Built Bars have 17 to 18 grams of protein. They are low in calories, low in sugar and net carbs. They make a perfect choice for a healthy on-the-go food. Now, I know what you're thinking, healthy. That means they're not delicious, but that's not true with Built Bar. Built Bar has flavors ranging from coconut, orange, raspberry to cookies and cream. They have a salted caramel, double chocolate, mint brownie. Built Bars are a healthy protein bar that you will love. Order now at built.com and get the German chocolate, my favorite flavor. Or if you haven't tried all the great original flavors, you can order the mixed box that comes with a variety of choices. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Thank you for making Locked On Predators your first listen of the day. Coming up, we're going to hear from Predators prospect and Penn State forward Chase McClain, who is in town this weekend for the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame game against the University of North Dakota. I got to ask him about getting into hockey, and he has a very interesting story about the day the Predators drafted him. You won't want to miss that. And I also want to share one thing with you that I'm not sure came out in the interview, but we did confirm after the game, while he was here in town on Broadway with the team, Chase McClain did in fact buy himself a new cowboy hat. Well, thank you for joining us, Chase. Welcome to Nashville. I know you've been here before. We did not provide you with the great Nashville weather that maybe you got to see when you were down here this summer. So sorry about that. But really excited for our listeners to get to know a little bit more about you. And just, can you kind of just start and tell us, how did you get involved, you know, as a youth in hockey? How long have you been playing hockey?
So my mom actually played hockey when she was growing up. So it was kind of just, my path was already kind of set in stone. She put me on skates, I believe, when I was like 18 months and just kind of sent me out there on one of those little walkers. And I started playing organized hockey, I think, at like 3 or 4 years old. And then, I mean, it just kind of took off from there. I started playing double-A hockey in the Detroit metro area and then moved into triple-A and then finally to the USHL. And now I'm playing at Penn State.
That's great. So when you were in the USHL with Tri-City Storm, what was that experience like? How did that help kind of develop not just your game, but just you personally?
I think it helped me a lot, just like being on my own more of like, I mean, we had billets, but it was more of like everything was kind of on you. You had to start doing your own laundry, start doing cooking for yourself and stuff like that. So it kind of allowed me to mature a little bit. And I mean, the guys there that we had, I mean, there was some good role models there for me to follow in their footsteps kind of. So, I mean, it helped me a ton as a man. And, I think it kind of just translated to the ice.
How about your game? What were some areas of your game that you really felt like that time helped you kind of improve?
So I think my first year I struggled a little bit on the ice. I mean, we had a lot of injuries my first year and it was just like, I was kind of throwing in the first line center role at 17 years old. So I kind of struggled a little bit, but I think that struggle helped prepare me for the coming years. My offense started to develop. I feel like I was already a pretty good defensive player, but our coaches there definitely molded me into an even better defensive player, which just kind of continues today.
Yeah. What was your experience like getting drafted by the Predators? So what kind of, how did that go down and what was that like for you?
It was pretty cool, honestly. So I was doing homework at we have like a academic center at Penn State.
Yeah.
And it was a little weird because the draft was in October, and I was just sitting there doing homework, and my phone started blowing up, and I was just like, what is going on? And I mean, I kind of put two and two together that the draft was that day. And then I believe I missed their phone call. Like,
oh my gosh. Twice.
Yeah. So I ended up getting on the phone with them, and then they said I got drafted. It was pretty cool. My agent called me, and it was pretty sweet. And then I think the best phone call was to my parents. I called my mom first and called my dad.
Yeah. I bet that was amazing.
Yeah, it was a cool experience. My mom was screaming and crying.
That's great. That's what we moms do.
Yeah.
That's so great. So you were down here in Nashville for camp this summer. What was that like? And can you kind of talk through, you know, obviously everybody knows that you do a lot of on ice work when you're at a camp, but what were some of the off ice things that you did that you felt were really helpful?
It was kind of limited to what we could do off the ice because of COVID and everything. Like, we're still kind of following COVID protocols and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think, like, I mean, the guys were all pretty, really cool. I mean, it was cool to see us get together and just like, I mean, it was only like a week long, but it seemed like I met some guys that were going to be friends for a while, you know? And I mean, we went out to dinner one night, which was pretty cool. And then, I mean, the last night we went and kind of explored Broadway, which was a cool experience too.
Yeah, that it's a whole thing, isn't it? Broadway's a whole thing.
Yeah.
When you left development camp, what were some things that you felt like you knew you wanted to work on? Did you come away with some areas that you were like, okay, this is something I want to work on?
Yeah, I mean, like seeing some of the guys at camp that were just like good in these little, like their little areas that I wanted to like be better in. And just like asking the coach, like the development guys, like, their opinions on some stuff like that, like just some offensive details. Like, it's just very fine details of the game that I need to work on.
Right. Okay, so I grew up in Pennsylvania. Talk me through how someone from Michigan lands at Penn State.
That's a great question, honestly.
I'm really thrilled that you did, but you can tell us how it happened.
It kind of really came out of nowhere. I remember my coach in Tri-City he told me that Penn State was going to be at the game that night. Mm-hmm. And I ended up scoring my first USHL goal, which was pretty cool. And then a guy talked to me in the locker room after the game. And I went on a visit that summer and kind of just fell in love with it from there.
Yeah. It's a great campus. It's a great environment.
I like that. It's kind of like, it's just like a college town. It's like everywhere else outside of State College is kind of the middle of nowhere.
Yes. That's very true. Everything is sort of right there.
Right.
So talk about, what are some of the strengths of the Penn State program and the Penn State team that we're going to see tonight at the Hall of Fame game?
I think our strengths are that we just play fast. We have a pretty simple game, I'd say. We don't really try to do too much fancy stuff, but just get the pucks in deep and just grind them down. That's hopefully what we try to do tonight.
Yeah, that sounds great. So I'm going to do just a real quick to finish up, just kind of a get to know you, like 1 minute kind of rapid fire questions for you.
Okay.
All right. So obviously you're very talented at hockey. What is something that you are not that great at?
I'd have to say writing papers or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at writing papers. I'm not good at taking tests either. I manage, but I'm not very good at it.
I can totally relate to that. What is your favorite post-game meal or snack?
I like something to refuel. Like I always get a chocolate milk or a protein shake in right as we get off the ice. But I like some pasta, some kind of carbs.
Yeah. I can relate.
Yeah. Got to get it back in the system.
Are you a summer person or a winter person?
I'd say a little bit of both. I like summer. I like being on the boat, but I also, there's some things that I like to do during the winter. I mean, outside of hockey, that I don't really get to do too often anymore, but eventually one day I definitely will.
Yeah. Do you ski?
Yeah. Snowboard. Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. Are you a dog person or a cat person?
Both?
Dog person.
Dog person. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Have you tried the Pennsylvania delicacy scrapple yet?
I have not.
Okay.
What is that?
It's a whole thing, my friend. Okay. So it's like the remnants of pork with cornmeal and wheat flour put together. It's like the weirdest sort of meatloafy thing ever.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh.
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah. You just look into it. You might not want to try it, but you could look into it. I'm always curious if people are brave enough to try scrapple. Are you a morning person or are you a night owl?
I'd say morning person.
Morning person. Who inspires you and why?
Probably I have an Uncle Eric he's in the Air Force Academy, he flies F-16s, and he's just a go-getter. Like, he's always doing something, and he's very adventurous, and he's just somebody that I'd like to follow. Like, maybe not his exact path, but his mindset.
That's awesome. That's great. What is your best pregame hype song?
I don't know, honestly. I'd have to say something by Nickelback, or I like Kid Rock a lot too.
Okay. Yep. See, Broadway is made for you. There's a whole place for him.
Yeah.
What is your favorite show to binge watch?
I just finished that show, the third season of You.
Uh-huh.
I binge watched that. That was a little creepy. But I'd have to say there's a show called Shooter. It's on Netflix.
Okay. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Okay. Fill in the blank. Country music is...
the best.
Nice. Well played. What do you do to relax in your downtime?
I try to take a nap, but it's tough for me to just fall asleep, I guess, especially during the middle of the day. But normally just sit there and watch TV.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. What song do you know by heart?
Most country songs.
Very nice.
Yeah, I do know most country songs by heart.
That's amazing. Who is your favorite athlete?
Probably Michael Jordan.
Yeah, you cannot go wrong. Have you done The Last Dance? I'm assuming you've watched The Last Dance.
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah, we're on our third time through on it. You just forget enough.
I think I watched it twice.
Yeah, so great. Chase, best of luck to you tonight in the game. Super excited to have you back here in Nashville. See you on the ice at Bridgestone. And hopefully we'll be able to talk to you some more in the future.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you so
much.
All right,
thanks so much, Chase. I appreciate it.
Yep, have a good one.
You too.
And I don't know about you, I feel like you're not really a Nashville tourist if you don't get a cowboy hat.
100%. I think, yes, I think the Penn State fellas and also the University of North Dakota team, I think that they saw some things in their brief trip here to Nashville. And I'm glad that they're going home properly accessorized.
Yes. Well, tomorrow we got Jess Belmosto coming on to talk about Preds versus Flames. That is tomorrow night's game, which means Wednesday we'll have the full recap for you. And where can the fine people find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at ANK_MamaOnIce.
You can find me at _NSMorgan. You can also find the show at LO_Predators. Let us know if there's any topics you want us to discuss, anything fun, anything serious, just let us know. For now, though, thank you for making Lockdown Predators your first listen of the day. Go check out Scott Cullen in the Lockdown Fantasy Hockey Podcast. In the meantime, we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.